Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
When the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on the Voting Rights Act in 2013, it was hailed as either an acknowledgement of greater racial parity in southern districts with a history of legal segregation, or it was condemned as a gutting of the act that protects minority rights against majority rule temptations to bring back something like this.
I ain't stirring no fuss. I'm just here trying to register to vote.
Recite the Constitution's preamble.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
How many county judges in Alabama?
67.
Name them.
That example of a discriminatory barrier to black voters from the movie Selma is illegal today and long gone. But when the Supreme Court lifted the federal oversight voting rules in historically segregated districts, they also opened a window on the various rules for voting all over the country. Now a new study from Harvard has begun to look at data that reveals the effect of bias in a bureaucratic voting process with rules that may not be well understood. Ariel White and Noah Nathan are PhD candidates in government at Harvard and the study's authors. One thing they've found is that racial bias is clearly one reason some voters may not make it to the polls.
What we're actually finding is a much more subtle implicit bias that's similar to bias that's been found in all sorts of other experiments similar to ours in other fields with loan officers, HR workers, doctors, real estate agents that show that people, when they make discretionary decisions about others, can be implicitly biased to minorities and how helpful they're going to be, even if they don't actually intend ill to those people. And that's something that we find in our experiment. So the people who didn't give as accurate or as informative responses to Latinos weren't being intentionally inaccurate or constructing barriers. They just weren't being as helpful and as forthcoming as they could be. And they might not even be aware that they themselves are being biased. But the aggregate effects of this in the population are that people from minority groups may be getting less informative information when they ask questions to these officials.
So is it fair to say that under the current system that you looked at, there is a system out there that permits bias, even if it doesn't actually structurally encourage bias in the way we saw in the movie Selma?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think the point is that individuals, when they make discretionary decisions about others, can be implicitly biased in all sorts of ways. And if we don't take that into consideration when we design and implement these policies, we can get biased outcomes, even if bias wasn't the intent going in.
So, Ariel, if a system permits bias, what actually happens at the level of voters that would cause them not to go to the polls?
We looked at just one manifestation of this, which is, you know, we emailed asking for some basic information, just as we would think that voters might do. Certainly, a lot of local officials sent some very helpful and thorough responses.
Which is good. Yeah,
absolutely. The thing that we did find, though, was that on average, when we sent those emails, the same text of the same email from a Latino-sounding name, we got fewer responses overall. So we just more often heard radio silence. And we got slightly less thorough responses. So maybe someone would say, yes, you need to bring an ID, such as a driver's license, but actually you could bring all sorts of other IDs and they wouldn't mention that. So just slight differences in quality.
Now, slight, of course, is the devil is in the details about
exactly.
All of this, because you add up a bunch of slights and all of a sudden you've got, 10, 20 electoral votes at risk here. In looking at this kind of thing that you're seeing, and again, this is the first real data that anyone's really even talked about, which is what's so interesting here. Can you see any way of correcting, challenging, creating the sort of legal framework to protect voters in this environment versus the much blunter situation that was the case in Selma in, the 1960s?
We didn't find the bias that Ariel was mentioning in a certain subset of jurisdictions in the United States, and those were jurisdictions that were covered for preclearance under several provisions of the Voting Rights Act, the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And these are areas that have additional federal scrutiny of local election procedures to make sure that they don't discriminate, and we found that in these areas, the officials didn't discriminate in their responsiveness or in the accuracy of their responses to our questions. We can't say that that's specifically because of the Voting Rights Act, but it's suggestive evidence that when you have people looking over your shoulder and making sure you aren't biased. And so procedures that explicitly recognize that bias exists and try to take precautions against it are probably necessary to make sure that it doesn't come to the forefront in situations like this.
The huge
takeaway here that comes out of your very careful, you know, examination of this data suggests that, you know, the argument that was very passionate right after the Shelby decision, which was, oh, my goodness, the preclearance, which was challenged as an onerous, humiliating regulation on these specific counties based on history that's changed, is actually, based on your data, a great idea to have everywhere in the country. Is that what your data is seeming to hint at right now, Ariel?
I do think that, as Noah said, there's room for monitoring here to change people's behavior in terms of implicit bias. I'm not sure I would go quite that far. Noah, what do you think?
I think the best analogy here actually comes from Justice Ginsburg in the Shelby decision, in which she argued, you know, you're not getting wet. Is that because it's not raining or because you're holding up an umbrella? And the question is, should you close the umbrella? And that was the decision that they made, was to close the umbrella, get rid of the Voting Rights Act, those provisions at least. And I think what we can show you is that, yes, even these jurisdictions that are covered by the Voting Rights Act, they're not getting wet, but everyone else is getting wet everywhere else in similar jurisdictions around the country. And so you can connect the dots as to whether the umbrella of the Voting Rights Act is doing the work there. And I think there's suggestive evidence that that's the case. And I do agree that thinking about how to monitor against discrimination everywhere might be the solution to this.
Do you feel just personally excited to be doing this kind of work, to really sort of seeing on a very deep level how democracy is functioning or not functioning so well at this critical moment of history, Ariel?
Certainly. I mean, I think one of the other things that we saw in the Shelby decision was that we do need a critical mass of social science research that can address this question. I know a number of social scientists stepped in and filed briefs in that case, and it seems that some members of the court didn't find that compelling. But I think we do just need to keep amassing information on how this looks across the country.
I agree as well. And I think that experiments like this are particularly important because with an experiment like this, you can't explain this bias away based on anything else. These are exactly the same emails sent to thousands of people. Everything about them is the same except for the name, so that the name, the ethnicity of the person sending them is really the only thing that can plausibly be causing these differences in treatment. And so I think with a lot of evidence, people can say, oh, well, they can sort of rationalize away bias and racism. And I think with experiments, it becomes very hard to do that logically. And I think that's what's so important about this kind of analysis.
Ariel White and Noah Nathan, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, my pleasure.
Ariel White and Noah Nathan are PhD candidates in government at Harvard University and co-authors of this new study on bias in the voting system.
The Takeaway is supported by ShopKeep, a POS analytics and management system that works to help people grow their businesses. More information at shopkeep.com. And Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting the second best exotic Marigold Hotel. The new comedy directed by John Madden, starring Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nye, Dev Patel, and Richard Gere, in theaters everywhere March 6th.